This morning we'd like to turn your attention to the 24th chapter of Joshua, beginning with verse 14. According to chapter 23, verse 1, Joshua is now old and stricken with years. We are told that he's 110 years old. The term stricken in years would refer to a physical feebleness at this point. He has been leading the people of God for many years since the death of Moses. But Joshua realizes that his career is about over. And so he calls the people together that he might give to them one final charge before his death. And so in the first of chapter 24, he gathers together all of the tribes of Israel unto Shechem. As of yet, God has not indicated who Joshua's successor shall be as the leader of the people. And so Joshua feels it very important that he addressed these people one last time and to lay upon them the solemn charge that we find in verse 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear Jehovah and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve Jehovah. And if it seems evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. It is rather significant that he would gather them together at Shechem. As we go back in history, we find that Shechem is the place where Abraham first settled in the land, built an altar unto the Lord, and offered a sacrifice unto God in Shechem. Abraham had been commanded by God to leave his family and his land, the Ur of the Chaldees, and journey to an area that God would show him, a land that God was going to give to him and to his descendants. And Abraham, by faith, left the Ur of the Chaldees, and he journeyed until he came to this land. And building the altar in Shechem and offering sacrifice there, he recognized that this is the land that had been promised to him by God. Later, Jacob and his sons more or less settled in Shechem. It was at Shechem that Jacob purchased a field from Haran and began really the inheritance of these people in the land. It was also at Shechem that God commanded Moses to bring the children of Israel when they came into the land. And representatives from six of the tribes were to stand on Mount Ebal, and representatives of six tribes were to stand on Mount Gerizim. And here, the people were to stand in Shechem between these two mountains as those on Ebal pronounced the curses that would come upon the people if they forsook the law of God. From Mount Gerizim, they heard the blessings pronounced on those who would follow after God. Now, most of these people that gathered with Joshua were people who had been there on that awesome day when from the top of Mount Ebal, the men cried down the curses that would come upon them if they disobeyed God, and they responded, Amen, Amen. And then they heard the corresponding blessings coming from Mount Gerizim if they would follow the Lord and keep the Lord's covenant. And there Joshua read the law of God to them, and they made a covenant to serve the Lord. But that was a few years back. Now they have settled in the land. Now they are beginning to prosper in the land. And so often tragedy takes place in the time of prosperity, because that's when a person's heart is often taken from the Lord. In a time of poverty, we were more or less forced to trust in God. But it's in the time of prosperity that people so often get their eyes off of God. As James said, "And they that will be rich will fall into diverse temptations that drown men's souls in perdition." And so these people began to turn again to the gods that were brought out of the land of their fathers. You remember when Rebekah came out with Jacob, she had stolen the gods of her father. He is saying, now put away these gods. They had carried with them some of the gods from Egypt. Put these gods away and serve Jehovah. And if it seems evil unto you to serve Jehovah, then choose this day just who you will serve, whether it be the gods of the other side of the flood, your fathers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice that was to be made was which God they would serve. It wasn't a choice whether or not to serve God, because every man serves some God. No man lives totally independent. Every man bows his knee, lives his life for some master passion, some guiding principle, some influencing concept. And every person has a God that he serves. And to really find the God that you are serving, you can finish this phrase, "For to me to live is," and whatever it is that you're living for, whatever is that master passion of your life, whatever it is that gets you out of bed in the morning and drives you on towards whatever goal, that is your God. Now, in all honesty, some people would have to say, for me to live is happiness. Happiness is the most important thing in all of the world. And I am searching and seeking for happiness. And that to me is the key to life. Others would say, for me to live is success. I want to be successful. I will be the president of the company. I will be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. For me to live is success. Others would say, for me to live is pleasure. I'm out after a good time, man. I'm looking for the action. I want to find the pleasure. I want fun. And they live their whole life for pleasure. Others, for me to live is to know, to develop my mind, my understanding, my mental capacities. And I feel that it's important that we know as much as we can about the universe in which we live. For me to live is, and what is it for you? Paul the Apostle said, for me to live is Christ. Center of his life. The God of his life. The God that he had chosen to serve. Serving God is a matter of choice. You choose to believe in Jesus Christ, or you choose not to believe in Jesus Christ. And really, it is not an intellectual choice. No man really rejects Jesus Christ because he cannot intellectually accept the fact that he is the Son of God. You reject Jesus Christ because you reject the lifestyle that he espoused. You see, Jesus said that you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You don't want to do that. You want to live after your flesh. You want to indulge yourself in the fleshly things. And thus you reject Jesus because he has placed upon you a yoke that you're unwilling to bear. You feel that the flesh life has something to offer you. You're not willing to give it up. And thus, you reject Jesus Christ. But you feel that that's a terrible confession to make. I don't want to believe in Jesus because I want to indulge my flesh. That, you know, doesn't sound very honorable. And so you say, well, there are too many hypocrites in the church. Or you make up some kind of lame excuse. Church is always asking for money. Let me ask you about your God. You're worshiping pleasure. Does your God ask money from you? Is he always asking money? Do you go to Disneyland for free? Or does your God demand payment at the ticket window to get in? You know, we're out for a great day today. We're going to take the family to Disneyland. Have a lot of fun, you know. Well, you'll find that your God will demand the price at the gate to get in. Going out to the theater for a good night tonight? Oh, they're going to let you in free? You're going to crash the gates or are you going to pay? Your God's always asking for money. Why do you keep serving that God? He's always looking for money. Think of how long you saved up and how you sacrificed to get that boat. Yeah, your God does cost you money, doesn't he? He's a pretty costly God. If pleasure is your God, just figure out how much you've paid to worship your God over the last year. You might be quite amazed. It's a choice. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, and I have absolutely no intellectual difficulties with that choice. In fact, I am firmly convinced that it is the wisest choice and the most intelligent choice that I could ever make. I am convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It would be totally impossible for anyone to fulfill all of the predictions that were made concerning him if it were not of God and he were not the Son of God. The law of compound probabilities mitigates against any accident or the accidental fulfillment of these predictions. Also, according to the scriptures, he showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs. Intellectually, I have no problem at all with accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died for my sins, who rose again, who is in heaven, and is coming again to receive me unto himself, because the whole thing it just lines up with the prophecies that are there. I have no intellectual difficulty at all. The only difficulty a person might have is that he doesn't want to live a life of self-denial. I choose to live after the flesh. I choose to follow my own yearnings for pleasure and for happiness, not knowing the joy of serving Jesus Christ. But it's a choice. And God wants your choice for Him to be a sincere commitment. As Joshua said, serve Him in sincerity and truth. To this end, God created you like Himself, giving to you the capacity of self-determination. God is a self-determinate being. He has the capacity of choice. Created in the image of God, He gave to you the capacity of choice. And then He gave alternates from which you could choose. Joshua laid out the alternates. The gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood. The gods that you served in Egypt. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. You know, make your choice. There's plenty to choose from. There are many things that you can allow to become the center and the master passion of your life. You can allow money to become the master passion, the governing factor that rules over your life. Or you can allow pleasure, or you can allow these other things. They become the master passion, the governing passions of your life. And these gods are there. The thing is, you see, we've become more sophisticated. We don't name them anymore. There are people who are still living for pleasure. In the old days, they said, oh, he's serving Molech. That was the god of pleasure. We don't name that god anymore. But nonetheless, sophisticated or not, that is the God that you are worshiping, the God to whom you burn your incense, the God before whom you bow your knee. Choose this day who you are going to serve, which God will be the Lord over your life. Joshua said, as for me, and my house, we're going to serve Jehovah. That was a very wise choice. As you go back in this chapter, chapter 24, you'll find that Joshua has been giving them a brief summary of their history from the time of Abraham's call to the present day. And in looking at their history, Jehovah is a faithful God. What He had promised to Abraham, He has fulfilled to them. God is faithful. He keeps His word. He keeps His promises. As He reviews their history for them, He shows them that Jehovah is a powerful God. He was able to deliver them out of Egypt and to destroy the Egyptian army. He was able to destroy all of their enemies that were in this land to drive them out and give them this inheritance. He is a powerful God. And then as He rehearsed their history, He also showed that He is a good God. He has blessed them and He has prospered them according to His desires for them. He is a good God. And thus Joshua, knowing that Jehovah was faithful, that He was powerful, that He was good, he declared, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Choose this day. Many gods that you can worship and serve. But you must choose. And it is a necessary choice. Every man must choose which God he is going to serve. You can't escape it. In fact, already you have made your choice, for all of you are serving some God today. Just what God, we don't necessarily know unless we have a chance to look at your life. But if I had a chance to go around with you for a week, by the end of the week, I would know who your God is. Having a chance to observe you more carefully, it's very easy to see what or who a man's God actually is, for a man becomes like his God. And just a careful observance of your life will soon reveal just who your God is. You've already bowed your knee to some God. You already are serving some God. You ought to take a look at the God that you are serving and find out if that's the God you want to serve. Do you want to give your life to this? Do you want this to control your life? And so in reality, what we are saying is, if you have chosen to serve a false God, choose this day to serve the true and the living God. The God who is alive, the God who is faithful, the God who is powerful, the God who is able to deliver and will deliver his people. Choose to serve the Lord. Choose to bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, Joshua spoke for himself, but he also spoke for his house. But in reality, a man can only speak for himself. There comes that day when each person must make his own choice. I had the advantage of growing up in a Christian home. I had the advantage of seeing a godly example, of being trained in the Word of God from the time I was able to speak or to understand. I had a glorious spiritual heritage. But despite the fact that my mother and father were deeply committed in their service to God, there came a day when I had to choose myself. I could no longer ride under their umbrella. It had to be my own choice of who I was going to serve. And there comes for each of you that day when you must make your choice. Our children grew up in a Christian home. They had a godly example set before them. And they too also came to that day when they were weaned away from their parents' faith and they had to make their own decision and their own choice. Every man must make that choice one day for himself, of which God you're going to serve. Oh, how I thank God that my children, all of them, made wise choices. And I can say as Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My dad could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All my brothers and sisters serving the Lord. All of my children serving the Lord. And now all my grandchildren, so I see the blessings of the Lord on my children's children and all. Tell me it isn't joyful. Tell me it isn't a blessing. Tell me it isn't glory to see my children's children walking after the Lord. A wise choice. A necessary choice. Choose this day just who you are going to serve. You see, sometimes we have made wrong choices in life. I look back on my life and look at some of the choices that I made, and I realize that if I had made a different choice at that particular time, I could have been a lot better off financially today. I made some poor choices. I chose one time to purchase a diesel car. It was a GM Oldsmobile. And that was the worst lemon I ever had in my life. GM later has apologized to the public for ever making the thing. You know, they volunteered to refund money for those that bought that dumb diesel engine. Bad choice. But I survived. I sold it and got me a gasoline-powered car again. But that was a poor choice. But I was able to survive it. It just cost me a lot of consternation. You know, trying to go up a hill 18 miles an hour up. Oh. I regretted that choice. But I survived it. And there's a lot of poor choices that you can survive. But if you make a poor choice as to the God that you're going to serve, if you make a poor or wrong choice there, you can't survive. That's the problem. You see, ultimately, when you're facing eternity, you come to the hour of your death, when the machinery is all hooked up and it's all over. If money is your God, it can't save you. Nor can you take it with you. If pleasure is your God, it can't save you. If your intellect is your God, your intellect can't save you at that point. There is only one God that can save, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And His name means Jehovah is salvation. And He came to seek and to save those which are lost. And thus, the ultimate choice, and the choice for the ultimate, is Jesus Christ. The only wise choice that you can make. And if you choose to believe in Him, everything that is necessary intellectually or whatever way is there and will be provided. It's just making the right choice. I choose to believe, I choose to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That easy. You can change from the empty, false gods to the true and the living God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning that created in Your image, we have the capacity of choice. And Lord, we thank You that You have shown Yourself faithful. You've shown Yourself powerful. And You've shown Yourself kind and loving. Compassionate, merciful, gracious. Lord, we choose to serve You, to crown You the Lord of our lives, to bow our knee before Your throne, to kiss Your scepter, to submit ourselves as obedient servants through Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning or this afternoon now, we encourage you to think seriously concerning your own life, to examine yourself, to look honestly and openly at yourself and discover which God you are serving. What you're really living for. what really governs your life, what really is the most important thing to you. And if in looking deeply and honestly and sincerely at yourself, you find that there is something on the throne of your life other than Jesus Christ, I would encourage you today to think again about that choice and to make the choice of allowing Jesus Christ to sit on the throne of your life and to become the Lord of your life. You can go back to the prayer room, and the pastors will be back there to pray with you and helping you in this commitment of yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A wise choice indeed, one for which you will never be sorry. Now may the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you in His love as He shows His faithfulness, as He shows His power, and as He shows His love to you as you serve Him this week. In Jesus' name.